Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio. We have a special edition today. We have Mike Lenhart in the studio. He is the president and founder of the See Me Endurance event. What is it? Why don't you share with our listeners? It's a pretty big expo, a big event for people in the endurance field.
That's right, Lee. It's See Me. It stands for the Southeastern Endurance and Multisport Expo, and it's an annual event. This will be the fifth year we've had it at the Concourse Athletic Club here in Sandy Springs, and we target the everyone from the new triathlete, endurance athlete, marathon runner, trail runner to the seasoned athlete who's doing it. It's always a preseason event, and it's a kickoff event, and it's a way to kind of the last ditch effort to have fun and drink some beer and barbecue and learn a lot.
Now, how did you get involved in this?
Back about 5 years ago, I was involved with a triathlon club out of the Concourse Athletic Club. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to do something kind of as a kickoff event to the season. Here in Atlanta, that season runs from right about the end of April until October, the triathlon season we're talking about. And so we were looking for some kind of event to bring people together, have a party atmosphere, and also an opportunity to learn a lot and allow the local retailers to show what's the newest gear and gadget that's out there.
Now, has it been embraced by the local retailers?
I think so. In fact, what's pretty cool is that a lot of the retailers now kind of look at this event because it's early enough in the season. If February, March, we've changed the date a couple of times, but it's early enough that they can look at what they need to have on hand in their stock, and they can promote the new products and the new services and really, really introduce it to a very target environment of consumers.
Are these endurance athletes, do they like to have the latest and the greatest, or is that the kind of personality type of these people?
Oh yeah, it's really interesting because it can be considered an expensive sport. To look at the typical triathlete has got to buy the swimming gear consists of a wetsuit and goggles and swim cap and training gear that's swim fins, and then you get to the bicycle and there are bicycles that are more expensive than the cars that they're on, and then the running gear, the running shoes. So you kind of bring all that together just from the gear perspective, and it can be expensive. So there's always individuals that are looking for what's the best deal that's out there. How can I shave minutes and seconds off my times and be have better performance this year?
Is it? Do you find that people that are involved in this, do they get injured a lot, or are they such good athletes that they kind of can manage that?
I think it varies. Conditioning and performance and injury avoidance is not specific to, I think, the endurance sports community. But so whether you're a football player or you're a tennis player or you're doing triathlons and marathons, I mean, there's a lot of studies that go into how do you best perform and how do you perform at your peak levels and how do you rest and how do you have good performance.
You mentioned the Concourse earlier. Are they do they help that community a lot? Are they a lot of people who are involved in these kind of events? They like to train there because I think they have one of the only or few outdoor heated pools that you can train.
They do have one of the few that's in Atlanta, and from my personal experience, swimming outdoors. I mean, think about being in an indoor pool and you get all that chlorine, and
right.
It really gets kind of
and the smell of it, right?
But the first time I swam at the, they have a great master swim program there, and a master swim program, for those who don't know, your listeners may know. Think of it like adult swim lessons, but a lot of endurance athletes and triathletes in particular are doing these classes. I think there's something like 16 or 18 master swim classes throughout a given week at the Concourse Athletic Club. And so the first time it was 36 degrees outside, and I looked at the swim coach. It was my first week, and I said, and he said, okay, Mike, go on and get outside. And I looked at him like he was nuts.
Right.
I mean, there was steam coming off the
pool
outside.
Right.
And but it's very surreal, and it's an awesome. But yeah, but so there's wonderful swimming programs there at the athletic club. They've got phenomenal spin or stationary bike instruction. And then through those communities that are built, the athletes that are taking those classes, they kind of have offshoots where they're doing running clubs and running groups that are going kind of anchored out of that athletic club there.
Now, you mentioned that the genesis of the idea of See Me kind of started there with some of the people, right?
Right. I was involved in a group of maybe 20 or 30 triathletes, and we kind of had a haphazard triathlon club, and we were having bagels one morning, and we wanted to do something that was going to kind of kick off the season and have a party atmosphere. And at the same time, the athletic club wanted to embrace their growing membership of triathletes and endurance athletes, and so they were behind it as well. And so we said, well, why don't we do this expo? And they said, well, what's an expo? Expos are typically right. aligned against races. You never have like a standalone expo. It's very rare. And so we kind of put our heads together, and that was 5 years ago. This will be our fifth year this year.
And how has it changed from year one to now, year five? Are there different things happening now?
It's grown. I mean, from an attendance perspective, we've always made it a free event because, you know, we want to reward the endurance athlete.
And you want to encourage new ones, I'm sure, to check it out, right?
Correct, correct. And so the first year we maybe had 300 attendees. It's always been a single-day event. It's in the afternoon. It typically runs from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then over time, it's grown from an attendance perspective. I think at our peak, we've had just under 1,000 people attend this. But it's exhibitor space. It's seminars and sessions. It's demonstrations. We're introducing something this year called a swap event. Again, going back to the fact it's so expensive, a swap right. event is where you can set up a table and you can buy, sell, or trade.
Oh, so you can trade, like say I upgraded to a new bike, I can unload my old bike.
Right, so you've right. got some tires that are hanging up in your garage, and your wife is saying, you know, Lee, it's about time you
get rid of this. Yeah.
And you say, well, I've got a great idea. I can go to the See Me event. But the other thing, and we always have something called the Person of Courage Award, and maybe we can talk about that
a little
more.
Yeah, why don't we bring that up now? It's the Person of Courage Award. This is an annual award.
Yes.
And what is this Person of Courage like? Yeah. How is it determined?
Yeah, a lot of events, they recognize excellence on the playing field.
Like the fastest or the
fastest right, and the people on the podium. And what we wanted to do was to recognize the individuals that weren't on the podium. But, you know, we all know of somebody that's behind the scenes doing all kinds of effort. And this award was named after a gentleman named Henry C. Forrest. And Henry Forrest is a former Marine, and he just did, but way back when people think about the Ironman, they think about the one that happens in Hawaii in October. Well, that started 32 years ago this year, and back then there were 15 original finishers of that event, and Henry Forrest, who's from Grayson, Georgia, was one of the original.
Oh, he's local guy?
He's local.
Oh.
He was one of the original 15 competitors. Sadly, Henry passed away about 2 years ago, battled pancreatic cancer. But he was our first recipient of the Person of Courage Award. And when I think about this award, I think of Henry Forrest because he really, really embodies this award and what we recognize. So year one, it was Henry Forrest. Year two, it was a woman named Denise Novecki who has started doing events and triathlons for an organization called Try to Remember, and her father suffers from Alzheimer's, so she gives back to the Alzheimer's Association that way. And this year we've got an equally an awesome person that we're going to award, and it's always a surprise.
It's a surprise, right?
So I won't say
it's
that now.
Not publicized yet.
It's not publicized, but I think if you come to the event, you'll this is a well-deserving individual this year.
And then in addition to the presentation of the award and all these, it's kind of like a booths, right? Like a trade show kind of thing where
right.
you can walk around and see all the different vendors having their stuff.
Right.
But there's a fashion show, right?
Yeah.
For the first time ever?
Yeah, we always try and do something. We're smart. We don't try and, you know, reinvent the wheel too much, but we introduce something a little bit different. And again, we really try and focus in on the retailer and the person who's in the exhibitor booth there. They paid money to market their products and services. And so something we're doing this year was we're actually going to build out a catwalk, and the fashion show, the multi-sport fashion show, is going to be modeled after a triathlon. So the first phase of the fashion show, you'll see products and apparel for the pre-race. It's the board shorts, it's the flip-flops, it's the backpacks,
right.
it's sunglasses. And then you move to the swim, which is the first right. phase of
sure.
the triathlon. And so it's wetsuits and it's goggles and it's swimsuit apparel. Then we move to the bike and
right.
similarly to the run, and then it's the post race. And again, so if for individuals who have exhibitor booths at the event, they can
it
donate.
Gives a chance to showcase their right. Apparel, right?
Right, right. So we're excited about that. That's a new event this year, and we don't get the super models that you see on some
but
of the magazines.
They're the actual athletes,
they're,
right?
They're local athletes. They're local triathletes and marathon runners.
Was it hard to get them? Because some people are a little self conscious.
Surprisingly, it was not as hard as you would think. So they were.
Up. Are you going to be up there?
I will not be up
you
there.
You will not be up there.
I'll be narrating.
You're the MC?
I'm the MC, and then a local pro triathlete named Amy Kloner is also going to narrate. So we've got scripts that we do that kind of help the retailers and highlight what they've got out there.
Now, who runs this event? Is it who puts this together?
Yeah, I have an organization called Charitable Sports Productions, and it's an organization that I started to kind of be the management structure behind this mm-hmm. event. And in a nutshell, what Charitable Sports Productions is designed to do is to take the proceeds from events and sporting events and donate that to charity.
Right.
And so every year we have two charities that the events, in this case, we just do one event a year right now. But we have two charities that we take the proceeds from the expo and we donate those.
And then what are the recipients this year is?
Yeah, the two charities this year are the Getting to Try Foundation, mm-hmm. which is a local organization that works with athletes with disabilities, amputees, and wheelchair athletes. And they use the sport of triathlon to integrate them into communities. And the second one is a national organization that has a local emphasis here called Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So it's more commonly referred to as Team in Training.
Right.
And yeah. they do wonderful. They have a wonderful program. They have mentors and coaches, and they do triathlons and century events, century cycling events, and marathons.
Now, I know charity is an important component about your daily life. Can you talk a little bit about how this has changed you as a person from being kind of, you started out in the military, then you kind of went a corporate way, and then now you're kind of joined the world of nonprofit. So you've had a lot of kind of diverse experiences. Do you mind chatting about that a little bit?
I think it's interesting. I think we look at what we do in life and kind of does everything kind of build on top of one another. When I was in the service, I was fortunate to go to West Point, and I had spent 7 years of active duty as an infantry officer. And it was very important to me to give back to my country that way. And then I was working for a lot of high-tech companies, IBMs and other software companies, but kind of was also dabbling in this nonprofit where I was giving back to community through one of the charities, which is the one I started called the Getting to Try Foundation.
Right.
I don't know, Lee. I mean, I think you just kind of there's a number of different reasons why we do it, but I was very led to kind of giving back, and I liked, at the end of the day, I liked how I felt when I worked with an athlete with a disability, and I was in the littlest things that meant the world to that individual, whether helping him to swim or to ride a hand cycle or to run with a prosthetic leg. That's kind of how I felt, and the wonderful thing about it is that people have embraced that as well. The able-bodied community has embraced it, and we're going to see where it takes us.
Can you share maybe a story about one of these athletes, how they got into this? Maybe they thought they couldn't do it, and they got involved, and now they're super passionate about it?
Sure. There's a guy we trained with last year. His name is Jason Gunter, and he's an attorney out of Fort Myers, Florida. And about 18 years ago, Jason was actually a firefighter. And he was 20-something years old and was single and got off duty and hopped in a boat, maybe an 18-foot boat or 16-foot boat down in Fort Myers, and was driving off by himself to go meet some buddies. And he had just had the steering mechanism changed out. And the boat kind of – the steering mechanism caught up on him and jerked him and threw him overboard.
Right.
And while he was kind of underwater kind of getting himself back upright, the boat circled back around and the outboard motor sliced off his arm, his right arm just below the elbow, and his left leg just below the knee. And there was no one around. It's amazing. It's a whole miracle in itself how
he survived.
Jason survived
just at all, right.
But somebody saw him or heard him, and they rescued him. So that was, 18, 19 years ago. And so Jason spent about 3 months in rehab, and then he went back to work as a firefighter. But he wasn't really able to do the things that he was able to do before. His buddies would go out on the trucks, and they would service the fires, and he was left behind to kind of deal with the mundane task of
right.
cleaning up the common areas.
Sure.
And that's not what he signed up to do. So he ironically decided, well, I'm going to go become an attorney. So he leaves the fire station, goes and becomes an attorney. That's a lot of background about Jason. So then you fast forward to there is a lottery system for the Ironman World Championship in Hawaii. And
this is the preeminent.
This is the one that you see on TV.
Right.
And, if I tell somebody I'm doing a triathlon, they immediately think, oh, well, he's doing the Ironman.
Right, that's the only one.
It's,
right.
It's a very small number of individuals.
How many people about do that?
Every year they get about 2,200 people that do it. So
and how many people apply, do you think?
Oh, for the lottery system, there are thousands that apply. And they do, for the lottery system itself, they award 150 able-bodied athletes,
right.
And then they award 5 lotteries to the physically challenged athlete community.
Right.
So Jason was probably one of maybe 60 or 70 athletes with disabilities that applied for that lottery, and it's just like a lottery says, it's a drawing out of a fishbowl or something, and his name was selected. So this is probably back in April that he got selected. So I think he went through about a day or two that said, wow, yeah, I got selected.
Now I have to do it.
And then it was like, oh, no, now I've got to do this. So right. He started asking around about it. You know, is there an organization out there?
So had he ever run a triathlon?
He had not done a triathlon. He had done some running and whatnot, but really not. I mean, he was active, but he never really put all the pieces together.
Why don't you explain to people who don't know what the events are and
Sure. So in a typical triathlon, it's a swim, and a triathlon can be anywhere from a sprint triathlon to an intermediate distance called the Olympic distance to a half Ironman to a full Ironman. And since we're talking about the Hawaii Ironman, those distances are, it's a 2.4-mile swim.
In the ocean.
It's 112 right. miles on the bike. And it's 26.2 miles,
which is
a marathon
distance. And they're all back to back, right? It's not over several days.
That's
this
right.
is in a row.
You don't get to put you don't pack a tent and say, okay, I'm going to do that the next day. It's all, in fact, there's a time limit of 17 hours. Now, think about being out there for 17 hours. It's a long day. So Jason did some internet searches and was asking around about, well, where's an organization that could help me train for this.
Right.
And that's when he came across our organization, the Getting to Try Foundation. So, you know, the crux of what we do is to integrate individuals into local communities. So I was not personally interested in Jason wanted me to train with him, and I'm in Atlanta and he's in Florida. And I said, let's try and get someone in your local community. But he was fortunate. He was having to come up here a lot. His prosthetics company out of Suwannee, ProCare Prosthetics, was working. So he was going to come up here very regularly
right.
to get his running leg adjusted or his cycling leg or whatever.
Because they have to get all new prosthetics just for these events, right? It's not like the ones they do day to day.
Right, right. Not the everyday walking leg, for
right.
example. And, and think about riding a bicycle. And, most of us, the able-bodied community, we've got 2 arms and we can put our hands
right.
on the handlebars. And something as simple as reaching down to grab a water bottle that's on the frame of the bike. Now you've got a gentleman who's got 1 arm.
Right.
And so how do you do it? So that's the things that we had to work on. So so we spent about probably 5 months working with Jason as we could, and he had a coach that was working locally with him, and we did a lot of lessons learned and kind of brought a nice community around him. He did very well in October, last October in the race. He swam about where we thought he was going to be. He came in on the bike about where we thought he was going to be. It's very brutal. The prosthetics were working fine on the run, but his back gave out. And sadly, 3 miles before the end of the race, so he was mile 23
wow.
on the race,
he
collapsed. But I would tell you that he probably took about a month off. And he's been training ever since. And his goal is to get back this year. It's not always a big ribbon, or it's not a bow that goes around everything we do. But that's the reality of what we do is
right.
that we get people to the start line, and that's what we're trying. That's what we're trying to do.
And then this the CME Expo. Do you call it the CME Expo?
We just call it the CME, the Southeastern Endurance Motorsport Expo.
So Expo's included in the name. And at CME, then there's people like him, right?
Sure.
There's
sure.
people like him. There's able-bodied people. There's beginners. There's the hardcore, the people that are out there, year-round
That's
training
right.
and stuff.
That's right. And
it's a free event.
It's a free, but it's very important to have it as a free event because we want to encourage. We don't want to be prohibitive to anybody. The sports, go buy the goggles, go buy the nutrition supplements, but don't worry about having to pay it to get
right. But is this, can you actually buy things there, or do they just see the things there and then you go at some point and get them later?
Some of the retailers will try and do transactions there, but mm-hmm. But if you think about it, if it's a $2,000 bike, you're probably not. So I my advice to the retailers has always been, show the latest and greatest.
Right, you're showcasing, and it's for browsing, and then go and get them to come back to your store and to buy the stuff down the road.
Exactly right.
So, is there a website?
Yeah, it's CME, SEEME 2010.com.
SEEME 2010.com.
Yes.
And then when is the event?
It's Saturday, February 27th.
Uh-huh.
It goes from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Concourse Athletic Club.
At Concourse Athletic Club, and where's that?
In Sandy Springs.
Sandy Springs, that's off of
Hammond Drive. If you're from Atlanta and you're familiar with the King and Queen building, the office
park. It's there. In that same office park. Right, it's like Georgia 400 and Hammond Drive.
Yeah, exit 5 off of Georgia 400.
Well, great. Well, I appreciate you coming in here, Mike, to talk about the event. And once again, it's seeme2010.com. Check it out for more. And thanks, everybody, for listening to another edition of Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you again next time. Thanks.